Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to anyone who's called in already. I apologize, having some technical difficulties here. This is Bennett Edge, and we are on live now with the Gnostic Bridge with Magus. And tonight we're going to do a Q&A. And just please bear with me here. As I said, I'm just getting in. I don't know what was going on. But I am trying to bring Magus on the line right now. Please bear with me for a second, please. Please bear with me for a moment to whoever's on the line. You know, it's strange sometimes when you're having really, really in-depth conversations and all kinds of technological issues seem to arise. So we're going to go back on real soon, so just bear with me here. We ain't going to stop this show tonight. Whenever I can get in. Oh, wow, this is weird. Okay. Yeah, and I'm doing this like it's my, for whatever reason, my internet is not reading. You may have it. Magus, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yay! Oh my gosh, that was weird. Okay, all right, so here we go. We're all set now. We have Magus on the line. We are going to go into our Q&A for tonight with Decoding the Matrix. We went through the first movie, and Magus did a phenomenal job of basically breaking out some serious science, not just from a Gnostic perspective, but from a scientific perspective as well. It was a lot of information to take in, and so tonight we want to create a platform for anyone who has any questions or any insight they want to share pertaining to the part one and part two series that we did. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Magus on and let him begin to say anything that he wants to say to get started, and then from that point we're going to start taking some questions.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Well, I definitely enjoyed the last two Wednesdays that we had to discuss Decoding the Matrix. Like I said before, the Decoding the Matrix is critical because it is a means by which we can understand the illusion in which we are living in. And then, more importantly, what is the matrix? What is the nature of this illusion that we call life? And then how do we navigate ourselves through the matrix? Now, as you know, there were two other movies in the trilogy of the matrix. Movie number two was entitled The Matrix Reloaded. Mm-hmm. And this is where everything that we saw in Matrix 1 gets turned upside down. And then in Matrix 3, the revolutions, Matrix Revolutions, we began to understand the true nature of the matrix, of this illusion, and then how do we get out of it. And I look forward to possibly doing a full-blown seminar. That's the plan, a full-blown seminar on mastering the matrix. I kind of more or less put a aspect of that in a post in the past week called How to Be, or in other words, How to Live in This World of Illusion. I call that lucid living. Now, there was an image or a poster that was placed on I copied it, lifted it, and put an idea attached to it. If you remember, I called it Lucid Living, How to Be in This World of Illusion. And the image was an image of an egg. And it said, if an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends. It continues and says, if an egg is broken by an inside force, then life begins. And then it concludes saying, great things happen from the inside. And so I just wanted people to look at that poster and let's think about it in the context of the matrix, the world, this world system. And when you come into the world, sperm cracks the mother's egg in her fallopian tube. She is inseminated, or she conceives life from the light of the sperm entering into the egg. Now, the idea in the post was, if you crack an egg, like making an omelet, you basically are eating an aborted chick. So it says life ends. But think about it. The outside force of conception is the male sperm that cracks the egg or breaks through the outer shell of the egg in the female, and we call that conception. We say life begins. And when a person lives a certain amount of time and their spirit is released through their body back into the astral plane, we call that death. But in the post, it says when an egg is broken from an inside force, then life begins. So we see that's the birth of a baby chicken. Now think about that. If an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends. That would seem to indicate that when we incarnate into this world, we are really experiencing a type of death. And when we exit this world, that we call death, that really is a birth. Think about it.
Definitely.
So really, while we are living, you say what?
That's definitely something to think on.
Absolutely. So when we are incarnated into this world, we are living life. We come here to discover who we are. Let me put it this way. We are the fallen gods. When we are born, we come into this world, we are gods, as it says in the Bible, ye are gods, but we are fallen gods. We have fallen from our position, our abode, at the highest heavens as gods, and we come into this earth clothed in coats of skin, clothed in a prison of our mind and our body, like it says in the Matrix. And therefore, our ability to discern and to be able to use higher senses is limited because of this coat of skin, this body-brain limitation that is placed upon us keeps us limit operating only at the survival level, only at the physical level. When you see people living their human lives, worrying about what they can eat, what they can drink, what they can wear, what people say about them, and everything, we are not living in our full potential, our full knowledge of who we are. When we come into this world, we actually forget. We go through a forgetfulness of who we were, or the contracts we made in the astral plane before we came into the physical world. Our subconscious mind is wiped clean as we start a new life in this life, and we are ignoring and we forget who we really are, what we have come here to do. Therefore, life in this domain is about remembering. It's about remembering who we are. But because we don't know who we are, we get trapped or we get stuck in these ideas of what life is about, who we are. We identify with our body. We identify with our culture. We identify with our religion. And all of these, though they have some level of reality and some purpose attached to this physical world, but this physical world is transitory, meaning, as the writer of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes would say, it's vanity, meaningless, emptiness. In other words, you can't hold on to it. You can't hold on to your youth. You can't hold on to your possessions. You can't hold on to it, like trying to grasp wind or air. It leads to futility. And this is the reason why so many of us experience depression and sadness and listlessness, because we are trying to put meaning and value in the things that do not last. Like it says in the New Testament sometimes, or at least in one time it says, is that do not store up treasures on earth, where thieves break in and steal, where it rusts, corrodes, and where moth eats it. So if it can rust in time, if it can be stolen by another person, or if it can be eaten by the insects of this world, when you put value into transitory things, then you will suffer. You will suffer emotionally, mentally, and even physically. You can't hold on to it no matter how hard you try. That's the illusion. That's the illusion. You are meant to enjoy it, and then you are meant to let it go, because it's going to let you go. Okay? And so, but when we remember who we are and we realize our purpose here, not simply trying to get as much as we can all we get and then sit on the can. Our purpose is to know who we are, to know why we are. We are fallen gods, Satan's, if you will. We are fallen gods in process of becoming risen God. And this is where the mythology of the Christ story, in all the Christ stories, the Krishna story, the horror story, are trying to tell us that we are here to rise. We fail into third dimensional reality, and we are here to wake up. We are here to do more than just wake up. We are here to grow up. And so we are here to experience life, love, learning, and then we leave a witness. We are going through a process of waking up, being initiated, and then returning to tell our story so people who come behind us can follow in the same pursuit. I'm going to say one other thing, and then I'll stop and see if people have questions from this, because we're not trying to reteach the matrix tonight. We just want to deal with questions and go deeper in some of the spiritual. For example, here's a secret that I pick up, and that is not just my secret, but it's a universal truth. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." So we are here to produce spiritual fruit. We are here to become the avatars of God. We are here to become God, to take on Christ consciousness, to take on God consciousness, and be a witness to that. And to do that, you cannot be conformed to this illusion of this world. That's what the archons of this matrix want to do. They don't want us to remember. Therefore, they give us religion. They don't want us to know who we are. Therefore, they give us false history. They give us an illusion of who we are. They don't want us to know what time it really is. Therefore, we get caught up with the cycle of time in our calendar years. Well, it's about to be St. Patrick's Day, or it's about to be Easter, or it's about to be Christmas, or it's about to be this and that. And we get caught up in the illusions of cyclical time. But what we have to do is remember, wake up, and remember who we are, and with great passion, purpose, we have to let go of our attachment to this world, let go of our attachment to the transitory things of this world, okay? And that's why it says, unless a seed falls into the ground, we have to truly embrace the struggle of humanity, because it's in that cracking of our vessel, it's in the cracking of our psychology, when life gets its toughest, when we don't know how we're going to survive, when we don't know how we're going to make it from day to day. It is in that moment where life is no longer certain. That's when you crack the shell of your attachments to this world as the only reality, and then you begin to access that treasure, that light that shines in the darkness, and then you discover your divine power. You discover your divinity, and that's when we begin to produce fruit. That's when we begin to discover life. So in other words, it's a paradox. He who loves his humanity, his life, will lose it. And he who hates his humanity, I mean, not hate like in the sense of self-hate, but I mean in the sense of who does not choose to attach himself to the things of this world, will find his life, his eternal life. That's the paradox. So at the very moment that you think that over, you can't make it, and you have lost your dependence on everything other than your true divine self, when you have lost dependence on everything, family, culture, money, friends, that's when you're going through your initiation process, and that's when you surrender, that's when you discover a power in you that you didn't know exists. That's how you be in the world.
No, go ahead and finish.
I was going to say, that's when you discover how to be in the matrix, but not of it. It's not a matter of trying to escape humanity. It's not a matter of trying to avoid humanity. You allow humanity and the difficulties of humanity to wake you up that there is something greater in you than that's in the matrix. The matrix cannot tell you who you are. You are who you are. You just have to remember it.
So it's like going back to that inner egg, you know, that inner cracking from the inside. It's almost like something gets shaken within you, and in turn your outer world begins to shaken because there's something that's getting your attention from the inside. I know
that's exactly right.
What it was for me, and then it caused me to kind of go on an inner search. If you choose to, that shaking may get a little bit, you know, more rattling on the inside, which causes your world outside you to shake even more. I follow the theory of, like, if you know, God will give you a couple of taps. If you don't listen, them taps get harder and harder and harder. And I think, I apply that to the inner workings as well. That's why it's important to tune in and meditate and get time to kind of get to know yourself, because it allows you to kind of be in the flow of what's happening on the inside of you based off what's happening on the outside, because there's a flow to it if you really pay attention to it. So I like that analogy, or a metaphor, I guess you can say, of that inner and outer cracking of the egg, for sure.
Absolutely. And because when the egg is cracked, which means is that when you discover your transitoriness, when you begin to realize that you're not going to be here forever in terms of human existence, when you realize that your body does get old and your body does get weak, when many times when people go through horrendous experiences, I mean, I've seen people in the work that I've done deal with death of parents, deal with the breakdown of their own physical body, the idea of a terminal illness. And it never seemed like that person would fall apart. It would seem like they have lost all hope and they become, you know, very discouraged. It's in that moment where they discover something about their own spirit, about their own persistence of spirit. It's in that moment where they discover a power in them that they did not know that they had. That's the power of the God within. It's when you lose your faith in the religion that you were raised in, and you discover gnosis. You begin to have an experience with the God within. And that's something that cannot be taken away from you. And that's what we have to be. You know, that's something that we have to attain to. And we begin to have that, the marks of life upon us, the scars. But they are not injuries. They are healing moments. And we discover the grace of God. We discover the power of God. Discover the knowledge of God within us. That's gnosis. Mm-hmm. It's a self-realization, you know. But
let me just ask
if anybody want to ask a question or want to.
No, there are no questions yet. I don't see any questions up yet. In the chat room, I don't see any questions yet. But we're going to keep on rolling, and hopefully, you know, whenever. Whoever is listening and whoever listens in the future, hopefully we're answering or touching on some questions that, you know, they may have had or would like to receive answers to. So,
yeah,
you know, I agree with what you're saying, too, because it kind of goes with the saying of choosing to suffer. You know, we do make a choice to suffer. And, again, I can only speak from my personal experience because I've been a worry wart. Like when something's happening, I would just worry about it, trying to fix it on my own. But when I release my attachment to those situations, whatever it may be, I began to start through much help with teachers and things of that nature. I began to realize there was a lesson. There's a lesson I'm supposed to be learning here, which allowed me to open my awareness up more it heightened my awareness to what was going on around me. And so it became more of those like, okay. And I started just releasing. I started releasing the worry. I started releasing any concern, the attachment overall to the situation, and became more in the flow of what was happening because I was fighting against what was happening in my life and in turn was not realizing the lessons that were right there before me. So when those big traumatic life events occur, for me or if I talk to anybody who's had them, I always just try to keep people encouraged to know that there's a lesson in this for you. Just try to stay encouraged. You know, things will change because it's a mindset. If you keep yourself stuck in that state of worry, you make yourself suffer. You keep suffering more instead of releasing it.
Well,
seeing what you're
let's take it a little bit further. Let's go a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole. This is why you have to really begin to tap into your magic. You see, one of the problems that religion and the matrix of religion has done is that it has removed the goddess out of our consciousness and simply taken magic out of our lives. You see, all women are psychics. All women are, in a good way, are witches. Now, I know that we, men too, you know, but I'm just gonna, I want to talk about the female, the divine feminine. Because when the Catholic Church and other parts of the Christian experience began to persecute and eliminate, commit genocide upon the Gnostics, they were also destroying in our consciousness, putting some type of limitation upon the subconscious. They were taking away our magic by taking away goddess consciousness. That's our magic. That's our ability to be able to alter reality through the power of the subconscious mind and other higher parts of our mind. That's the power of what it was, and by taking it away, they were just limiting our ability to alter reality, to do magic. In other words, to know how to speak to storms and they get still. To know how to speak a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a word of healing, and the body will respond. To take away the goddess is also to remove the power of Lakshmi or the power of Fortuna, that is to bring grace and beauty into our existence, because that's what we do. When we step into our divinity, we're like spiritual scientists. That's what a witch is. Either we are good ones or bad ones. Either we use it for the elevation of humanity or we use it for the entrapment of humanity. And that's very important. So what happens to us when we lose our power and we forget who we are, we get lost in the matrix, like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She was looking for the lion, who was a coward. We're looking for the scarecrow, who was dumb, or we're looking for the Tin Man, who didn't have a heart. And she was traveling the yellow brick road. The yellow brick road is a road of finance, looking for the Wizard of Oz, because the wizard, an outside force. Keep in mind, the wizard was an outside force that was going to solve her problems. And when she finally got to the end of her journey, of her initiation, Glinda, the good witch, told her, "Dorothy, you always had the power. Kill heels three times and say there's no place like home. Home is just another place for self-awareness. It's another place for your divinity, another term for your divinity." And that's what we have to do. And that's why having these talismans, like the angelic talisman, having the other talismans that you see on Gnosis Matters, the Magi Power Sigils, the Relationship Repair Talismans, the security, protection, Home Protection Talisman, the Healing Talismans, the Divine Healing Tablets that we have on GnosisMatters.com, that's why learning how to cultivate a mind of magic, science, spiritual science, is so critical, because while other people are worried about, oh, Ned Perlmutter said this, oh, that's the weatherman here in Arkansas, or whoever your weatherman is says a tornado is coming and it's a big tornado. If you knew and had developed your divinity, you could speak to the storm. You can speak the weather, it will obey your voice. When you begin to understand your divinity and begin to grow in your ability to alter reality and to affect people with prayer and with words of power, you then know how to recognize when a demon comes into your home and is impacting your family. Your very presence and knowledge, gnosis, will begin to run that demon away out of your home, because that is your circumference of power. And when our mothers who understood a relationship with earth, wind, fire, ancestors. They knew how to use their magic to protect and provide for their families. This is the ancient wisdom that we have lost, and the matrix keeps us locked in to fear. And we don't, and because it knows that we don't know who we really are. Click your heels, Dorothy, and say there's no place like home. Look at that word, home. There's no place like home. Go within. Meditation to the God within. Hear that small, still voice. That's where the power is. And trust me, just like everybody else, you know, I have the same challenges in my life. I have the same challenges. And what I'm learning and what I have learned to do is not run from the problems, the hurt and the pain, but to look at the problem and see exactly what is teaching me. What is instructing me that I need to do. And then I go and get one of my talismans, or I know how to pray and talk to my guardian angel, or talk to my spiritual partner who walks this path with me. And I'm speaking of my God, and respond. Because if I can change my thought, then I can change my world.
That's the beautiful part of it to me, is that you begin to, the more you practice what you were just speaking of, meditation, broadening your awareness, not running from the problems, learning the lessons, etc., that you begin to see how you are creating your world around you. And I think that is the most beautiful thing. It's almost like you're in your own bubble, not bubble, but I'm just going to say bubble for the sake of words, and everything yeah. around you is being created for you, but you're here, not you're here alone, but everything is catering to your thoughts, to your intentions, and to see that happen, it's like, it's very magical, and it also, for me, it catapults my wanting to do more magic, to tune in more to myself, because I see what I'm doing, what my intentions are doing. I'm seeing how it's manifesting around me. I see how my ability to release myself from anything is actually creating a more balance in my life. And it's a rewarding thing.
Mm-hmm? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a lucid dream?
I have a few times before, yeah.
Yeah. How does it feel when you are having a lucid dream? How does it feel when you are dreaming and you know that you're dreaming?
You can do whatever you want to do. It's like you're a magician, and everything you're saying is abracadabra, and then boom, here's this and here's that. So I see exactly where you're going, and that's what's happening.
That's what's
that's
going on.
Exactly
when you wake up, the idea is not to, the idea is not necessarily to escape the matrix by trying to get out of it, like leaving the planet or leaving life. See, many people want to, they want to run from life. This is why we create these stories or these interpretations of someone coming from outer space or from another dimension and fighting our battles. Or we pray and we say, God, do it. God, do it. God, do it for me. We sing, people sing that song in church, God, do it. God, do it for me. Now, just think about it. If you're trying to do your homework and someone offers to do your homework for you, take you away, Calgon, take me away, and they take you away from your responsibility to bear your own cross. What are they doing to you? What type of psychology are they creating within you? They are creating a dependent. That's right, a dependent psychology. In other words, you're still being kept as a child. So one of the reasons why we go through things in life is because the more sophisticated the game, the more sophisticated the opponent. The smarter the game, the more smarter the opponent. And you'll find your opponent in the last place you look, within you. I keep saying, when we fail into this third-dimensional reality, we fail purposely in order that we might discover something about ourselves that we didn't know, and we can evolve to a higher level. Therefore, everything that we go through in life, we have made a sacred contract before we entered into this dimension, before we were physically born, in order so that we might develop the knowledge, skills, and mastery of ourselves, to know thyself. And that's why that phrase, know thyself, was actually mentioned in the movie The Matrix. And so the goal is to wake up in the dream, because that's symbolic or similar to when Neo discovered he began to believe who he was. Then that's when he could start doing all those supernatural type of, he began to wake up in the matrix, in the dream. And that's what we are supposed to do. Wake up in the dream. This is what we call lucid living, where you are aware of who you are, whose you are, what you are about. Then you begin to live life in the dream.
Okay, so I got a question for you, Megan. So I've had several occurrences where I've woken up, you know, went to sleep, woke up, and basically forgot that I went to sleep. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm still dreaming. Like, oh, wait, this is just something else just happened. I have to almost catch myself like, wait a minute, you're awake now. So if you understand what I said, I guess my question is, what's a good way to basically to remain lucid? I know we have the tools and stuff, but how do we stay awake? How do we remain lucid? I know we learned the lessons. Like, what else can we do?
Well, one of the things that's in the movie is that every time in the movie The Matrix, the three movies, each time the movie starts, Trinity is in distress and Neo is asleep. So that lets you know that you're going to just waking up is an ongoing process. Like I said, the more sophisticated the game, the more sophisticated the opponent. In other words, is that you experience multiple levels of awakening, because the matrix reloads itself. Once you figure out, and once it figure out that you have sufficiently understood and you have passed level one in the video game, you go to level two. And level two takes you through an experience that is beyond where you currently are. And so, as Einstein would say, the difficult problems we face today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we had when we created them. The problems of tomorrow are nothing more than the unfinished business that requires a higher growth in consciousness tomorrow to solve the problems that we have left unsolved today. So every generation of people have a set of conditions that they have to solve that the previous generation did not do. This is why the problem in all of our organizations, in our community, in our culture, are, you know, prevalent. It's because we're still using yesterday's tools and yesterday's understandings to solve today's problems. This is the problem of tradition. This is the problem of styles. Styles are nothing more than crystallizations of yesterday's ideas and methods. And we keep and we do not upgrade. We do not evolve. Man, this is why young people come along and they must criticize the elders. This is why they must challenge the wisdom of the elders. Now, they're wrong when they throw away the principles of what the elders taught. But when the elders try to force on them the methods, they are out of step. They're out of time. And so this is why we have to always stay young, in the mind, always stay new, fresh, keep asking questions. So that's the point I'm trying to say to you in answer to your question. You know, to your question, is that the way we do that is that we have to keep ourselves current. And we have to let go age-old methods that no longer work. People have forgotten why we did what we did in the first place. I mean, for me, as a former Baptist minister, one of the things that I just couldn't take it anymore in the church because people get hooked into styles and they want you to remind them and act like somebody in the past. But that's not it. Or you're trying to follow somebody. You have to follow the consciousness and the internal guidance within you. You have to discover your own voice, not mimic my voice or somebody like Dr. King or some other teacher or whatever. You have to find your voice. Because your voice is what the world is needing today. So I hope people understand that. It's not that you disrespect your teachers, your guides, your parents, your preachers, the people that came before you. No. Honor them by being yourself. I am because they were, but they are because I am. That's an ancient African principle, but what I'm trying to say is that you have to find your own voice. And problems of the day help you find your voice, your contribution. And that's the lesson. That's one another secret that the Matrix is telling us, is that it cannot tell you who you are. Let me just say one other thing. You know, I know everybody loved Dr. King, and we love the I Have a Dream speech. But do you realize that by 1967, Dr. King saw that the I Have a Dream speech was a nightmare? Do you realize that Dr. King sounded more like Malik El Shabazz, who we know as Malcolm X? He sounded more like Malcolm X toward the end. Do you realize that Malcolm X, toward the end of his death, began to move closer to the philosophy of Martin King?
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have to stay current and not allow the systems of control to tell us who we are and who we should follow and what we should believe, because these are nothing more than traditions, styles, denominations. You have to be free of that, where you can be age and time appropriate to the situation that you are in now. Talking like Harriet Tubman today in terms of, you know, let's go build an underground railroad so we can free the slaves in the South and take them to the North. you sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact is that for many people, if you were living during the time of Harriet Tubman and she was saying to you, let's escape, let's leave this plantation, and we're gonna travel this underground railroad to freedom, you've probably been, not you, but I'm saying people who talk that stuff today would probably been the ones who've been scared to death, and she had to put that shotgun on you to give you a choice. But it's no longer relevant today. You don't have to do the underground railroad to get to the north. Just get in your car and drive. You know, we have to understand that each time, each generation has its own challenge, and we have to be time appropriate to the challenges of today. So therefore, the problems of the day force us to change our methods, to change our thoughts.
That's not necessarily saying to not utilize the wisdom of the past to grow. It's saying to use their system of growing or to free themselves or what have you, whatever the case may be. It's saying that today we must take what they did and evolve it, allow us to evolve according to what our inner guidance is telling us to do, not to stay stuck into the same voice or the systematic approach that was used then. And to me, it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, when you go, I don't speak for black churches because, I grew up in black churches, but from church to church to church to church, you see the same type of pastoring. You see the same type of evoking of the spirit. You see the same type of thing. Everybody's doing the same thing. Nobody's using their own way to free themselves, to connect with spirit. So, again, that to me, that feels like there's no voice. Your voice is not being heard. You're not really connecting to the you that's within you, telling you, hey, this is how I like to be. You're only following the same trend or the same style, like you were saying before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's something that, again, that we have to be mindful of. Otherwise, we can get trapped into a stereotype. We can get mm-hmm. we can get trapped into a way of acting and not really follow our truth and everything. Last Sunday, I had an opportunity to get started with the House of Gnosis. The
mm-hmm.
House of Gnosis. I was speaking on the issue of four truths that the matrix, or in this sense, the matrix of religion, doesn't want people to know. And I guess I can at least share them, and if people want me to explain them or go deep into it, we can. But I just want to share them, because I think this is a very important subject. Because,
yeah, go ahead. There's no questions. I'm saying there's no questions right now. Nobody has their hand raised. And by the way, just before Megas goes into these truths here, if you do want to ask a question, because this is all about asking questions platform here, press 1. But Megas is going to go into the four truths first that the church does not want you to know about. But press 1 if you do have a question or a comment that you'd like to make. You can go ahead, Megan.
Okay. Number 1, the Bible is not the Word of God. It contains words from God experiences. It contains words from God experiences of Isis, Ra-El, or what we call Israel, which is nothing more than the moon, the sun, and the stars. The first Bible, the original Bible, is your spiritual DNA. That oftentimes has been, deactivated in some sense. The other Bible is nature, who we call the gods, the nectars. conscious, the conscious elements of divinity. When we observe the sun signals or sends out evolutionary intellectual factors that also connect with the inner sun, the inner planet, the inner moon within you. Friedrich Nietzsche said that he who considers the stars as only above you lacks a point of knowledge. In other words, as above, so below. As without, so within. So to a large extent, there's a communication, which is what I teach in Kinwafu. There's a connection between the inner and the outer gods within you, also outside of you. When you stare at these symbols, when you stare at these symbols that we call the sun, moon, and stars, and other things, when we stare at these symbols, they communicate information to us that gives us experiences. When you write that experience down, then that becomes like a catalog of your experience that can eventually be called a Bible, okay, a guide. But see, the problem comes in, like I said before, is when you crystallize that in some written form, it's good, it has purpose, but you have to always continue to get fresh revelation. So the Bible is not the word of God, because man is fallible. He writes down his experience best from his memory, share it in his own cultural language and everything at that time. And it's very helpful. It is a model. It lets you know what has happened. It lets you know the power of the source from which it happened. But you must also continue to have that ongoing relationship that we call gnosis, self-revelation, to know. So therefore, that's why I say the Bible is not the word of God. It contains the word of God. It embodies the experience that God have done in the life of a nation or a people. Okay? And so this becomes a guide, a model, but you got to have your own revelation. You have to have your own vision. Okay? And every people that walks the earth is searching this mystery we call God, that we call the universe, and they record their relationship to that which is spiritual. The second truth, you see, let me back up. If people understood that, then it would change the nature of the dialogue in the church. The second thing, or in any religion for that matter, the second point is the Bible stories and characters are allegorical myths of every person's soul's journey to God consciousness. So when you read the story of Abraham journeying out of his father's land into a country that he was being led to by God, that is an allegory. That is a symbolic story, as it says in Galatians 4. The same thing for Moses, the same thing for Jesus, the same thing for the biblical characters. These are allegorical myths that carry big ideas. And keep in mind that history, twofold. You have what's called a chronological history that you may read in the newspaper to tell you this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. But you also have what is called Heilgeschichte, salvation history. It is the myth. It is our telling of our history in a mythological way to inspire greatness of today. Oftentimes we confuse history with the past, but the history is not the past. It is the interpretation of the symbols left over from the past, and the writer of history takes a certain theme and shapes that story in order to make sense for today. That's what goes on in the Bible. So what happens is that when we take the biblical stories and characters as history, it freezes us and locks us into the past, and we're not relevant to the times that we're in. Thank goodness for people in our culture who understood that, and they knew how to interpret and how to read mythological literature in order to help it make sense for today. Because the truth of the matter is, if you read the Bible as history, then you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem trying to make sense of it. It becomes very difficult. But the problem is that many people don't really know how to read different types of literary forms that uses different styles to communicate. And so that's where we have to, you know, increase our intelligence in that area. The third thing that's important that I think that is, I'm going to explore this Sunday, is that the gods and the goddesses are real forces within us waiting to be awakened through ritual. And that's what I was saying earlier, is that one of the ways in which to disempower people is when they took away and turned the gods of certain people into demons and made them afraid of them. You know, it's like we have a problem and with the word witch, or the problem with the word whore, or the problem with the word bitch, because all of these words at one time were not negative like they are today. The bitch was, the word bitch was connected to the dog store, or Anubis in the Egyptian pantheon, or the Dogon people of the divine feminine, you know. And then the word whore was a priestess in the temple of Horus, in the temple of light. These were women who understood how to shape and how to develop consciousness. Even when men would go to war and come back bloody, before they went home, they would go to the temple priestess who knew how to work with the sexual energy of a man to take war out of him. So when he goes back home, like many of our soldiers do when they come back from war, they have so many attaching spirits or guilt or shame in their soul from combat and from fear and anxiety. They take that energy back into their home, and you see suicides, and you see murders, and you see depressions, and you see alcoholism. You see a lot of different things. Well, ancient people understood that there were women who had developed a skill who know how to move a man's sexual energy. They understood that was important for good business. That was important for a good family. And these women knew how to do that, and they had the technique for doing that. And it would save families and communities. So what I'm saying is that we have to begin to learn that the gods and goddesses are real forces, and they are waiting to be moved and awakened in us. We call them today psychologists today, or sex therapists. The problem that we have today is that we are so sex negative in through our religion that we make people suppress and or act out these forces in a disempowering way. And the final truth that I think that the church don't want people to realize, because it's very profitable, is that there is no sin, no condemnation, no hell, no death, only evolutionary opportunities to learn and to grow. I cannot tell you the damage that is done to people's psyche when they are loaded with guilt and shame, fear and anxiety from sin, condemnation, death, and ultimately hell. Can you imagine people in the matrix who have problems of oppression, trying to pay their bills, and then to dump on top of them that if you don't follow our particular system of faith, well, after suffering all this life, you're going to hell. The suffer for eternity. And that's how it keeps us under control, mentally and emotionally.
Well, now, that was, I'm over here smiling up a storm over here. That was some serious, serious knowledge you just dropped, Meg. It's really, like, okay, wait a minute. So the word whore derives from Horus?
Horus.
Wow. And it makes so much sense. I mean, oh, my gosh. And then the word bitch, that comes from, just go say, tell me that part one more time. I could go back and listen, but I definitely want to hear you.
A bitch, like we use the word son of a bitch and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's son of a female dog. The son
yes.
of a female
mm-hmm.
dog. Well, let me ask you this. When you see the communication satellite program known as Sirius
mm-hmm.
XM radio, well, what is the symbol that they use?
The dog.
It's a dog and a star. The dog
mm-hmm.
star. You see, they have intelligence. Now, they don't share that intelligence with the masses, but they understand that they are channeling frequencies of the dimensions of the dog star, ancient frequencies, to bring prosperity and power to their business. Many people don't realize that even when, for example, take black people. Well, there's a term that black people are very sensitive to, Sambo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, want to put a black man down back in the day for a child, you would call him Little Black Sambo. Don't call me no Sambo. I ain't no Sambo. Well, if you do your history on Sambu was a god of northern India. I think it was a Buddha. Sambu was a god. When you look at the image of Aunt Jemima, well, why would back in the day when there was, you know, tremendous overt racism, would this company use the image of a black woman with a bandana, a fat, portly black woman, as the model of their business, their syrup or pancakes or whatever they were doing? Well, she's the image of a goddess, a prosperity goddess that we called La Dama.
Wow.
La Dama. And the big word that people have used against Afro-Americans to shame them and to demean them is what people call the N-word. The N-word. But what is the origin of that word? If you stop in the 1400s, you're not going back far enough. In Africa, they had a word that was related to the N-word that we don't like to say. And out of respect, I won't say it, because normally I would.
Say it.
It's the word.
I know what
was
I mean.
The word negus. Yeah, negus, N-E-G-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is a negus? A negus is a king, a god. It's connected to the word naga or nagas. Same word without the vowels, but with the consonants. Carries the same frequency, the nagas or naga. These were kings, gods, who were known as the serpent kings. Well, what's the serpent? You know, the serpent has gotten bad report too. The serpent was a symbol of wisdom. These were, and Kundalini wisdom, raised serpent is at the crown chakra means that you have reached divine status. You are called a Naga. You see, every man should strive to become a Naga. You should be happy to see that you married to, that's my Naga. That's my Nigga.
Right.
You know, I don't run from that. I say, yeah, I'm a Nigga. You know, it's a term of a blessing. But because of the conditioning of the matrix of the world system, they got us. They got us. They have our mind. They have the women. They have the men. They have the children. And we are speaking to each other as if we're speaking a curse. And our mind turns it in a way out of ignorance to put us down. When really, if we understood what we're saying and said it correctly, we are actually speaking a blessing to us, to each other. See, this is the game that the church has done, because it is a system of supremacy, and to lock people into an alternative mind where it cannot free itself because it does not know itself. And this is what we have to this is why decoding the matrix is so important. You know, this is why decoding the matrix is so important, because it allows us to be able to reverse the curse, as they say, so we can begin to think different and be different. Think like God, act like God, because that is the most important thing. I'm for voting, and I think that's a good thing to a certain extent. You know, obviously, you know, I believe in making money, because that's a good to a certain extent. But if you don't have consciousness, self-realization, self-awareness, self-mastery, then you cannot have social mastery. Today's problems are calling us to discover the God within us and become that. We have to do something spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the problems have persisted, because it's demanding that we have to go deep within to solve these issues that we're facing today.
We got some serious energy reconnecting to do, because obviously when you think about even Starbucks and Sirius, as you was just saying, the energy is there and available to be used. However, we lack the knowing to do it. We don't remember that we can do that because we've been dumbed down. So, you know, give thanks for platforms like these to help open the minds of all of us who've, you know, forgotten a lot of this information here. We do have
right,
one.
And that's
have a
the
caller.
Reason. Okay, let's go to the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a caller. Let me get this caller. He or she has been waiting for a while. The number is 678-558. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, greetings, peace. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm great. Calling from Florida, the Sunshine State. You know. Appreciate the show, Magus, and the sister V, because I can't pronounce your name right. I always see it.
Hello.
This is Jimmy. I'll be in the. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Magus, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Keep going, brother.
Okay. She probably having that issue she was having the last time. I just was saying, man, I really resonate with the information that you're giving, and grateful and appreciative of what you're doing, because myself and many others that come out of the church world and that background, and when you were just saying what you're saying, you made me think about that scripture that says, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. You know, when you're just referring to the reference of about consciousness and the difference, far as to me, it looked like in the dealing with the physical and dealing with the spiritual, far as just retaining wealth or not, what's important. And also, when you were mentioning about the word the bitch, and then its reference to female dog, and then about the priestess, the female priestess. And I don't remember where it's at, but I remember reading in the Old Testament some time ago about I don't know if it was a prophet or somebody like that that stopped, and actually it was seemed like the story was dealing with them stopping and dealing with some type of temple priestess or something, like going in and having sex with her or something like that. Can't remember it in detail. So when you was just speaking about that, I was thinking about that, and me connecting with Dr. Mitchell Gibson, the Master Mr. Gibson, opened the door for me to come across your information. And so I really connected with a lot of that from your past, from out of the church and becoming a Magus. And so actually what has happened, scripture has begun to open up to me things that I already knew. So really understanding the position of the sun and scriptures like Malachi, the sun will come with healing in his wing. One, the sun is a shield and a buckler. So all this stuff really started to resonate. And before I was thinking, and maybe from pagan, when you're thinking those thoughts about the sun and its position. But as I began to listen to some of the things you taught on YouTube, Master Gibson Green, and then it really put things in perspective for me. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of hidden to us because we're not taught properly about this information, man. And it really just began to open up and resonate. So I really am grateful and appreciate what you're doing and the platform that you're using to bring forth this information.
Hey, brother, I really appreciate your words. That really encourages my heart, because you're exactly right. It's amazing that when you begin to put the right interpretation on even scripture in the Bible, all of a sudden, they come alive to you, because the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And this is what has to happen today. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about the work that I'm doing with the House of Gnosis in Arkansas, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Because when I left the first time, I didn't have this awareness of this community. I thought it was just basically it was a dead place. It wasn't even worth trying to even help or get involved. But since I've come back, a door has been opened and an opportunity has been shown that with this type of spiritual information, a transformation can occur. So I appreciate your words of encouragement and just stay connected, man, to what we're doing. And if need be, you know, hey, take it to where you are there in Florida. And
definitely,
keep doing that.
Definitely, we need you to do that, because I was so excited, man. I got several people that's on the call listening, because many of our people, the position of the church can't feed us. It only take us so far, and then there's something missing. And the information that you're bringing is what it is, but we don't have those people in our area that can kind of take us and connect us. It's like, you know, like you say, Gnostic bridge. So this becomes that bridge from, okay, the church can't take me no further. Here's the rest of where I need to go at. So definitely I want to connect with you on that and set some things up to see about doing a conference call and you know, the next level, getting you here to do a seminar. We definitely need it.
I appreciate that, bro. Thanks for your call, man.
Appreciate you.
Okay, Vanette.
All right. Yeah, I'm here. That was wonderful. Like we could keep going on and on and on. As you said, the rabbit hole does go very, very deep, and it seems like one thing uncovers another and uncovers another and uncovers another. And, again, it just shows me the depth of how deep we are, how expansive things really are. So I think we've reached a good stopping point. I don't see any more questions here or in our chat room. So I wanted to take some time for you to really just kind of go over, I guess, to kind of introduce a more formal introduction of the House of Gnosis, if you want to.
Okay. Well, let me say this, is that for people who are really interested in wanting to raise their angelic consciousness, their divine consciousness, we have some, we have many products that make that possible. If you go to the website, www.gnosismatters, that's GNOSISMATTERS, one of the talismans that I'm actually connecting with people is called the Angelic Talisman. And let me say to Misty and to Brandy, your talismans. Well, I think Misty's talisman is already, she already received it. And Brandy, your talisman is on the way. And I put together these talismans to connect to that part of your consciousness that is angelic to help bring it out. And I specifically connect it to the spirit of wisdom and magic or the knowledge of good and evil, because this is where our consciousness was manipulated, human consciousness was manipulated and continued to be manipulated in a way to serve our spiritual opponent. And let me just say this too, is that recently the paper has revealed that the government is spending $100 million to understand and to map the functioning of the human brain for the purpose of merging intelligence, artificial intelligence, into computers. And we are being used, at least humans are being used, their brain is being used to achieve that. This is why these angelic talismans, and this is why raising your consciousness to a higher level is important. Because if you raise the frequency of yourself, it can prevent those who are trying to manipulate your consciousness from being able to track your consciousness. And that's what I'm trying to do. And that's why these tools are so important. So we have the divine healing tablets. We have various other talismans, the talisman of easy wealth and luck. The more you begin to work with your magic, the more you begin to understand the power of symbols and talismans and sigils, it begins to create a sympathetic relationship between the higher worlds and your world. Go back and listen to our study part two, and you'll understand the more of how symbols connect the part of your brain that disconnected to a higher part of intelligence and consciousness. We do that. The House of Gnosis is a on-site a New Thought, Free Thought community. It's not a church. It's the nun church. It's an unchurch. We're not trying to do the church thing. It is an open community of ideas. I share my ideas. People respond. They don't have to believe it. They don't have to join it. We just have to entertain it and begin to transmit back and forth between me and them and me and each other ideas, high ideas, conscious ideas. And it's within that we look for the spirit of our ancestors and the spirit of our divinities to drop in and give us a greater idea. See, I really do believe in synergy. 1 + 1 = 3 or more. And when we come together in unity, when we come together in awareness, we produce magic. And that's what the House of Gnosis is. And for those of you who would like for me to come to your city to start this or to teach you how to do this, call me. My number is 704-666-3197. That's how you reach Gnosis Matters, Magus. 704-666-3197. And I can share all this with you in terms of the product and even the how to get in contact, how to do the House of Gnosis and bring it to your community, because we have to build community of conscious people, of Gnostics, because we are the key to begin to create real transformation in our society. And first of all, it begins in ourselves.
All right, beautiful, and congratulations once again on the House of Gnosis. I can't wait to step into the house and get some wisdom from you. And again, the website for Gnosis Matters is www.gnosismatters.com. That's spelled GNOSISMATTERS. So www.gnosismatters.com. You can go up there and review information about Magus, all the wonderful products and services that he offers, and just to reach out to him. He's always open to open to, I guess you can say, lend an ear to speak with you and give you some good guidance, however he's guided to. And again, the angelic talismans and the easy wealth and luck talisman, I can definitely speak high volumes for the easy wealth and luck talisman. It is a miraculous product. I've seen so many, I guess you'd say, miracles happen, like just from using it. One day, the next day, something is happening. It may be an unexpected amount of money comes in. It may be someone gives me a particular resource that I needed. I'm connected to somebody. Something happens where I am amplified and it's expanded. My wealth, my luck, something happens. So I would definitely say definitely purchase that, especially with St. Patrick's Day coming up tomorrow and it being I guess you can say it's integrated with the goddess Fortuna. And culturally, she is, you know, that's the culture. So I think that'll be a good way to amplify the energy. So check that out right there. And at this time, we only have a few minutes left. I don't see anybody else with any questions up. So we'll definitely post whatever next week's topic is going to be about. I think this was a good segue into continuing information from the House of Gnosis, because this is a bridge, and we want to, you know, stay cohesive and continue the knowledge that Magus has shared from Sunday to Wednesday. So I think we may follow that platform. So stay on the lookout for that if you are really intrigued and interested in what we talked about tonight. So, Magus, do you have anything else for us? Would you like to end in prayer tonight?
Yeah, we can end in prayer. And I just want to say, if anybody's listening, and we always in need of support through donations, and I would definitely appreciate it. This is a very tenuous work, and we definitely need your prayers and your financial support. So we definitely would appreciate any type of support that you can give us who are listening so we can keep this type of knowledge going. So let's close with a word of prayer, and I'm going to pray the Unisa Vajaya. Namo Bhagavate Traloka, Pradasisi Staya Budaya Bhagavate Tariyafa Om. Visudeya Visudeya, Asama Sama, Samana Vasa, Spurana Gati Gana, Savava Visudi, Abasin Katuma, Sugata Verifakana, Amrita Abasin, Montipata, Ahara, Ahara, Ayusandu Rani, Sadaya Sadaya, Vizana Visudi, Unisa Vajaya Pasudi, Sahasarasmi, Samkadite, Savadagata Avakani, Saparamita Paraparani, Savadagata Manasi Buni, Pradishtita, Savadagata Hedaya, Aristita, Nastita Mamudre, Vajakaya, Samatana Visudi, Savarana Paradigate Parasudi, Pratinivataya Ayasuri Sumayalastita. Mani, Mahamani, the Gata Buddha Kodi Parasuri, Respiti Buddha Suri. Jaya, Smara, Sava Buddha Aristita Suri. Vajigabe, Vajiram, Bavatu Mama Sivana, Sava Savaran, Kakaya Parasuri, Savagata Parasuri. Sava Tatagata Sinkame, Sava Tatagata Mavasa Aristita. Budaya, Budaya, Vibodaya, Vibodaya, Bodaya, Bodaya, Vibodaya, Vibodaya, Samata Parasuri. Savatatagata, Herdaya, Aristita, Nastita, Mamudre, Sava. Have a good time. I hope to see you and hear from you this week, and for sure next week on the Gnostic Bridge with Vinette Cradle Edge.
Thank you very much, Magus. You all have a wonderful night, and thank you for calling in. Be blessed.
All right.